Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sitting down with Steve Forbes of Forbes magazine and Fortune. He's talking specifically about, he says, this is what's happening right now with Iran and America and the nations and the United Nations. He says, this is worse than the 1930s. He's referring to the days of Hitler. As a matter of fact, take a look now.
Prime Minister, President Obama has said that if there's not a deal with Iran, that means war. What we've learned about the deal is not reassuring. What is your take on this?
I think if the deal goes through, we're in danger of war, and it might be the worst kind of war that we can imagine, because the deal opens Iran's way to, not to a bomb, but to many bombs. Within a decade, Iran will be free to enrich uranium on an unlimited basis, and they could make the fissile cores for dozens of bombs, indeed hundreds of bombs, which they can put on hundreds of ICBMs that they already have. Given Iran's aggression and the fact that they're going to get under this deal $100, $200, maybe $300 billion to fund their terrorism, their aggression in the region, their aim to destroy Israel, I'd say that giving Iran this double bonanza of a guaranteed pathway to a nuclear arsenal and a jackpot of money to continue their aggression, this deal actually, I think, makes the danger of war, even nuclear war, a lot greater.
You make a very important point. Even if Iran sticks with the deal, which is highly problematical, in a decade, there will be a major global nuclear power, and this deal doesn't even cover ballistic missiles.
They're producing them, and then guess what? They're making them reach first the within a few years, the eastern seaboard of the United States, and then every point in the United States. But this deal also enables them to tip these missiles with nuclear weapons, with atomic bombs. And I think it's a huge mistake to allow the foremost sponsor of terrorism in the world, Iran, to have nuclear weapons or the capacity to give such weapons to their surrogate terrorists. This is a big, big mistake, not only endangering us and the entire Middle East, but endangering the entire world, and specifically the United States. The mullahs, they call us, the mullahs of Tehran, the dictators in Tehran, they call us the little Satan. They call America the big Satan. You're their ultimate target, and you should not give such a regime, a terrorist regime, the weapons of mass destruction. Because I think the greatest danger facing our world is the marriage of militant Islam with nuclear weapons. Here you have a militant Islamic state, Iran, an Islamic state, arming itself with nuclear weapons and receiving a huge bonanza, cash bonanza, in the bargain. That's a mistake.
Even with the prospect of Iran becoming a nuclear power, that is going to set off a nuclear arms race in this part of the world, is it not?
It is because in fact, the greatest danger in this deal is not that Iran will violate the agreement. That's a danger, and it's probably a certainty, given their record of cheating. The fact is that within 10 years, they don't have to violate anything. They can just walk into the bombs, into many bombs. They are saying that they will have not 6,000 centrifuges that they're allowed in this deal. They openly say, we can have 190,000 centrifuges, which is a vast amount. They can take this yellow cake, put it into these centrifuges, spin it, and make the material that you need for nuclear bombs within weeks on a vast scale. They can do this with the agreement. They don't have to violate the agreement. They have to keep the agreement, and they get to a nuclear arsenal. And that's why countries in the region, Iran's Arab neighbors and others, are saying, well, if Iran is going to be given a license to produce an atomic bomb arsenal, then we have to do that too. And so what this deal will spark is a nuclear arms race in the Middle East tinderbox. And you know, this could be the deal that will be the ultimate nuclear proliferator, the deal that proliferated nuclear weapons more than anything else in history. That's bad news for everyone.
Iran clearly wants to become the dominant power in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. We see with their proxies operating everywhere. They ultimately seem to have their eyes on Saudi oil, not to mention what they've done in Iraq.
And the holy places.
And the holy places. Mm-hmm. Even putting aside the nuclear, how do we counter Iran's ambitions in the region, which have global implications?
Well, don't give them $100, $200 billion to fund their proxies and their own arms industry and their rockets and their drones and their submarines. Why? Why give the most dangerous regime on Earth the powers to further its aggression? This is a big, big mistake. So the first thing is, don't give them the funds to multiply their aggression 10 times, 100 times. Second, resist them. Support your allies. Support your allies that are resisting Iran. And the principal ally, the best ally that the United States has in this region is Israel. I think that America has no better friend than Israel. Israel has no better friend than America. And we should stand together against Iranian aggression and against ISIS aggression. Both of them are our enemies. You shouldn't strengthen one and weaken the other. You should weaken both.
What happens if Congress does not derail this deal?
As for Israel itself, we always have the right and the duty to protect ourselves against a regime that, while denying the Holocaust, is planning another Holocaust against the 6 million Jews of Israel. That will not happen. We won't let it happen.
Is this like the 1930s?
Well, it's worse, because we have the example of the 1930s, which wasn't available then.
He said this is worse than the 1930s. That is the Holocaust, that is Hitler, that's all the extermination of Jews and Christians. He's saying this is worse than that, and it is, with the power and the people that America's getting behind this. But what does he mean by, you know, within, they can take this yellow cake, this stuff, and put it in centrifuges and make a atomic bomb in like 2 to 3 weeks? Look at this animation that explains it in just less than a minute. Watch this.
Iran is the biggest exporter of terror in the world, spreading instability and death. Iranian missiles threaten the Western world, including Madrid, Rome, and Paris. And they're developing new ones, which can reach the United States. Iran will halt its race towards an atomic bomb in return for the lifting of the sanctions, which have been slowing it down. However, Iran's ability to make a bomb will remain intact. Now this is a big problem. Let's do a little bit of math to understand why. It takes between 2,500 and 3,000 centrifuges operating for a full year to enrich enough uranium for one nuclear bomb. Iran has a total of 19,000 centrifuges, which, if operated together, can produce a bomb within 6 to 7 weeks to reach a deal which relieves the sanctions without giving up the machines. Then, at the right opportunity, it will dash towards a bomb before the world has a chance to say boo. After all, this plan worked for its best buddy, North Korea. Like North Korea, Iran has an impressive track record of violating international agreements, including 6 Security Council resolutions. The difference between a good deal and a bad deal is one that includes dismantling the machines. This would give the world 3 years to know if Iran is building a bomb, to form a global coalition, and to take action. 6 weeks are simply not enough. Iran with a bomb is a global threat and will turn the Middle East into a nuclear nightmare.
This is exactly what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is talking about. Just shocked, thinking, why would we even participate in something like this? But on May the 21st in 2013, our president was in Israel speaking to college students, and he was saying specifically that how is this whole thing going to come to pass, this division of the land and this Palestinian state? We're going to take it to the United Nations, and he said that we will oppose any effort that would try to stop that. As a matter of fact, take a look at this speech. This is a speech from May 21st, 2013, what the president is saying. We're going to take this thing to the United Nations. What is he saying? We're not going to take it to Congress. We're not going to take it to the people. We're not going to take it to Israel. We're going to bypass them, and we're going to find out the reason why after this break, because there's an unstoppable voting bloc against Israel and America inside the United Nations. As a matter of fact, first let's see what the president said on May 21st, 2013 about this whole Palestinian property.
And there is no question that the only path to peace is through negotiations, which is why, despite the criticism we've received, the United States will oppose unilateral efforts to bypass negotiations through the United Nations. It has to be done by the parties. But the Palestinian people's right to self-determination, their right to justice, must also be recognized.
What he's saying is that if anybody tries to stop the plans of us taking this thing to the United Nations, including Congress, who put these sanctions on Iran, who set these things up, we're going to talk when we get back from the break how they're bypassing Congress and going to the United Nations. And the United Nations has this large Islamic voting bloc that specifically is always against Israel.
So you're looking at what's interesting is that Cuba
started with Cuba.
It started with Cuba. And of all the strange things happening just yesterday in America, you know, we opened relations with Cuba again. As a matter of fact, take a look at this. The flag, the Cuban flag has been raised in America when all these things are going on, and they're taking things to the unstoppable voting bloc. And you'll find out in today's program, they went around Congress. It's a standard thing they're doing. And but watch here, just to see how this thing works. Take a look at what's happening in America as we speak.
A ceremony steeped in symbolism. For the first time in 54 years, the Cuban flag was raised over its Washington embassy as the two countries officially restored ties. As the flag was raised, a small group chanted Cuba yes, embargo no, recalling the major barriers that remain between Washington and Havana. The historic events we are living today will only make sense with the removal of the economic, commercial, and financial blockade, which causes so much deprivation and damage to our people, the return of the occupied territory of Guantanamo, and respect for the sovereignty of Cuba. In Havana, the U.S. Embassy was reopened for business with less fanfare. The Stars and Stripes won't grace the building until an official visit by Secretary of State John Kerry, scheduled for August 14th.
So you're looking at this epicenter. Cuba was looking for some agreement, and so they developed eventually this unstoppable voting bloc. And all of a sudden, when Israel's surrounded by this United Arab League Nations, which is like
22 nations, primarily in North Africa,
surrounding Israel, these unstoppable voting bloc representatives, and here Cuba's coming to this point, and the flag's being raised. We open relationships with them. It's like everything contradictory to the survival of America in regards to a country. And so you have Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu with all this United Nations resolutions against Israel, knowing if you take this thing to Israel, which the president said, you heard earlier, that we will come against, and they use the word unilateral. What it means is if Israel comes against it alone, if they defend themselves, that's called unilateral. We need to come up with different kinds. They did these words so we won't think about it. But unilateral is meaning basically that if they actually defend themselves by themselves, which he said that they would do to Congress when he was standing before Congress, and he just said it when he was talking to Steve Forbes. I mean, you would defend yourself if it's in... And so they're saying that they would oppose anything from going to the United Nations. Well, they did go to the United Nations. But first, I want you to hear Kerry, Secretary of State John Kerry, beginning to defend this cause. And remember, they keep saying there was only two options, war or this particular agreement. No, there was another option. It was working. It was called sanctions. And they just pulled that out of the narrative like that wasn't there anymore. And not only did they remove the sanctions based on what everybody's reporting, including Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, that over $100 million is going back into the state sponsors of terrorism that's in Yemen, Syria, and all this. It's like, what's going on? And the Lord laid on my heart, told me very specifically in a night vision, he showed me that as soon as John Kerry got into this place, that Christians and Jews were going to be brought to the lower rung of the ladder. They were going to be on the bottom. We were going to be on the bottom, and it's happening, on the bottom. I mean, looking at Christians being beheaded, you're looking at him threatening Israel for a third intifada. You're looking at bargaining with the enemy of America and Israel and democracy in general. And it's just, well, this is what's going on. Well, watch. This is a reporter from CBN News with Secretary of State John Kerry and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu going around trying to make their case. And when you're hearing what Senator John Kerry or Secretary of State John Kerry saying, now that you know about the United Nations, now you know what's actually happening, now you know they have that yellow cake that they could put in the centrifuges, and about two to six weeks have a bomb. Look what he's saying. He's saying, I am for the destruction of Israel. He's not saying that, but everything he's doing, if that goes through, according to the Ayatollah who's tweeting out messages, yeah, destroy Iran, that's what he does. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Both Secretary of State John Kerry and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have been taking turns defending their positions.
Ronald Reagan negotiated with the former Soviet Union. Richard Nixon negotiated with what was then known as Red China. You have to negotiate sometimes with people to make the world and your country safer. And we negotiated because President Obama thought the primary challenge here was getting a nuclear weapon away from Iran, and we believe this deal does that.
There was a celebrated deal just a few years ago, a nuclear deal. Everybody, the scientific community, the international community, everybody applauded it. It was a deal with North Korea. That proved to be a historic mistake as well. And North Korea today has a dozen nuclear bombs and is on track to get, within a few years, 100 nuclear bombs. So I think that this is a repeat of the mistake of North Korea.
The clock began on the 60-day period for Congress to review the agreement. However, the Obama administration is planning to take the accord to the UN Security Council before Congress can vote. While Kerry and Netanyahu staked out their positions and Congress reviews the accord, crowds in Tehran shouted death to America. Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei vowed Iran's policy toward what he called the arrogant United States would not change and pledged to support its jihadist allies in the region. With billions of dollars in sanctions relief, many Middle East observers fear Iran will soon be able to resupply the terror groups Hezbollah, Hamas, and the regime of Syrian President Bashar Assad. In the meantime, as one more sign of the growing tensions in the region, 47% of Israelis would support a unilateral strike against Iran's nuclear program. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Think about this. Death to America, they're shouting. Mm-hmm. We just negotiated a deal. Yes, we've negotiated in the past, but we never put Israel on the block and saying, oh, by the way, take Israel, destroy Israel so we can have some sort of agreement. That has never happened. When we get back from this break, we're going to see the assistant to our president talk specifically about her job is to go with 36 staffers is to go around Congress, because guess what? They went around Congress and went to the United Nations, and we'll talk about that. Before we talk about going around Congress, let's talk about what Congress is.
You know,
they took a survey even of university students in America, and it was surprisingly...
Was it surprising? That was surprising.
So there's this thing called the United States Constitution, and in the Constitution, it writes out, our founding fathers wrote out how it would be governed, and specifically says there will be a president, there will be a vice president, there'll be senators, and there'll be representatives, and there'll be Supreme Court justices. And then it tells us how many, and based on the number of states or based on the population. And so all these numbers come together, and that's what we call representative government. You know, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, we're the ones that choose or not choose who's going to be there in this representative form. It's everybody's temporary. But in that, you have the president. You have three branches of government. You have the executive branch, which is the president and one, but really it's huge now.
Yeah,
and then
huge.
But it's just one. Then you have another branch called the Supreme Court. You're hearing quite a bit about Supreme Court. They just passed some laws that are contrary to biblical standards for our nation. But that's the Supreme Court. They have equal powers to the executive branch. So they can undo the president's decisions or support the president's decisions. And then you have the Congress. And the Congress is you. That's your representatives. I mean, yeah, you do elect a president, but that's just one person out of 325 million or whatever. and you have nine Supreme Court justices. That's just nine. But when you get to senators in Congress, you got Senate, and then you got the House of Representatives, you got the House of Senate. You got two senators per state. So it's equal representation based on our state in the Senate, which means since there's 50 states, you can guess the number of senators. Mm-hmm. There would be 100, right? Two per state, which means Rhode Island has two senators and California has two senators. So you can see where that wouldn't be a fair decision to be made for California to be compared to the Senate for Rhode Island, because you got, what, seven people?
Small people, yeah.
And you have millions. I think it's equivalent to like a third. If it was a country, it'd be like the
third largest
country or something like that. And so how they resolve that, they have representative government based on the population in the House of Representatives. So for how many thousand people? Every 700,000 folks approximately in your state, you get one representative. So say if you had, 140,000, 1.4 million people in your state, which some do, you get two representatives in Congress, the House of Representatives. But if you have, 11 million people, which I think Florida's around 11 or something million folks.
20s maybe.
It could be. Just think about that. So you divide that by 700,000, and that's how many representatives you get. And this is called your Congress. And so you are proportionately represented. You have more people standing up for what you believe in your state in the House of Representatives. That's called the Congress, the House of Representatives. And so if somebody makes a decision in Senate, you think, well, that's kind of nice, but let's take it to Congress because they're going to actually better represent us as a state.
Right.
And that's what you got to do, is you're supposed to take it back and forth. So when you hear when somebody says, you're going to have to appear before Congress, what they're saying is this, based on the Constitution, that you're going to have to appear before you. When somebody sits at that table in front of your House of Representatives, your Congressperson, your Senate, they're sitting before you. That's why they have to swear an oath, and supposedly if they don't tell the truth, then they get, perjury or whatever. But that's your representative. That is you. So that's why you could send them questions, and you could ask questions and that type of thing. You are holding them accountable through the representatives that you sent there. It's not like a king and they have their subjects out here. It's a democracy. It's not a democratic government. It's a democracy. It's a republic, a representative government. And so then imagine this. The ones that you proportionately chose to represent you based on the U.S. Constitution, what if, just imagine, what if they go around Congress?
Hmm.
So going around Congress means I'm going around you.
That's right, as a citizen.
So think about that. So when somebody says I'm going to go around Congress, they may have convinced some folks thinking that Congress is some sort of adversarial thing. That's the people you chose to represent you. That's not adversarial. They're representing you. And so when they say they're going to go around Congress, they're saying they're going to go around you. And they went around Congress. As a matter of fact, on NBC in 2014, they interviewed Valerie Jarrett, who is a
senior advisor.
A senior advisor to the president. She has 36 staffers that meet every morning.
She's very senior.
And she eats dinner, or she's with, lives in their house, I guess.
Yeah,
in their house
close
every
to
night,
it.
Reportedly. And you can see this entire interview on the VFN Torch, but I want you to see what she says here. This is what she says, was we were just figuring out how to go around Congress. That means you. Take a look at this.
At 8:45, she sits down with her own senior team. 36 White House staffers work for Jarrett. They discuss getting programs out, going around Congress straight to the nation's mayors.
You don't go around Congress. That's going around you.
Yeah.
And there's been a narrative established, a way of saying things established, where people automatically, they're thinking that your representative who you voted for or represents you is your enemy. And so they're saying, no, don't worry about that, because we'll help you out. We'll go around your representative.
And go to your mayor.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said at that speech in Israel. The president was speaking to those college students in Israel, not the Cairo speech in Egypt. I'm talking about the speech in Israel, when he's saying, listen, now, your folks did some pretty big things, but it's your generation that's going to go on. You're going to have to make a decision. You deserve peace. And by the way, if anybody comes against us taking this to the United Nations, we're going to oppose that.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, you got to see this one more time before we go into how they went around Congress. Take a look here.
And there is no question that the only path to peace is through negotiations, which is why, despite the criticism we've received, the United States will oppose unilateral efforts to bypass negotiations through the United Nations. It has to be done by the parties. But the Palestinian people's right to self-determination, their right to justice, must also be recognized.
So this is what happened. The New York Times today, John, said all that to say this. The New York Times today, as you can probably see, they state that the United Nations Security Council on Monday unanimously approved a resolution that creates the basis for international economic sanctions against Iran to be lifted.
Wow.
They did it. These sanctions
took off the sanctions.
Well, they actually made it okay. He went around Congress, and Congress hasn't even met yet. You have not got a chance to evaluate. Your representatives had not had a chance to look it over to see, you know, what's in this deal. It's sort of like saying, let's pass it before we read it.
Right.
That's never happened before.
No,
does it?
No.
That never happened before. Didn't you always wonder when you're reading in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, you're thinking like, how did that nation go down? How come they didn't see it? We're actually seeing it happen in our very eyes, in our faces. And they didn't know. When you read about what happened with the Midianites and Gideon, and you read about, you know, Jehoshaphat and the enemy coming in against Israel, you wonder, it's like, how did the enemy destroy themselves? Just look around, America.
Yeah.
As their minds were blinded, they couldn't see it.
Yeah, there was a time when people would try to work really hard to deceive you and to trick you and to try to blind you into what is happening. Today, their strategy is, we're just going to do it right in your face.
Yeah.
And maybe just by your pure shock, you won't even know what hit you, you know?
I was in law enforcement. I had another officer, and he was effecting an arrest. He had a guy, and the guy looked at him, and he said, he was cuffed, and he looked him square in the eye. He says, I'm going to kick you. And he told him where he was going to kick him, right? And didn't do anything. And about 5 minutes later, he kicked him exactly. And I looked at him when he was trying to catch his breath and said, he told you he was going to kick you. And it's like, we're being told these things are happening. And we're in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. I just can't even think. I mean, just love this man. Don't you? It's like, he's just so... It's the man of the hour for the earth right now in regards to what's taking place. It happened. It's happening just like they said. So we started out saying this is like the 1930s. It is. It's happening as we speak. And as a matter of fact, even down to the Pope, because the Pope went to the Palestinian president Abbas, as you're seeing right now on your screen. He went there to visit the West Bank, and he went to visit the Palestinians, and he began to paint a narrative about, you know, we need to have a separate state and the divide the land type thing. You're seeing it take place. He's walking hand in hand. But look at this, hand in hand with the president,
Abbas.
And he is, that's like, they hate Israel.
Yeah.
They hate Jews. They hate, that's the Hamas. That's where the missiles are coming from. And that's what was happening in the 1930s. You're looking, and this is what he's walking with them. This is the Pope walking with them. You would think, when you look at history, you think, why would anybody do this? But it's happening in our very, very eyes right now. And by the way, if you haven't heard about it, you need to join. We got a prophetic conference coming up at the VFN studios. We're going to be talking about this very thing. You'll be able to find out more about it. Go to VFNTV.com. But you're looking, you're happening right here. At this, you can see these, I guess you can see them. There you are. This is like meeting, really, the enemy of Israel. You would say like meeting with Hitler.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on? They were even walking, holding hands. You know, you say, well, that, and it's so much like the 30s. I mean, it's so much like the 30s, John. Take a look. Let's just kind of glance back at the Pope in the 30s. I mean, look at this. He's holding hands. Keep on coming through these images. I want you to see that. There you go. That's the Catholic Church. That's Hitler. Wow. They're shaking hands. Happening just like what happened in the 30s. And you know what happened after that? Concentration camps,
extermination of
6 million Jews, millions of people killed. Just horrific. And it's like, what are we doing today? The same thing that was happening, according to McTassis in his book, Eric McTassis, with Bonhoeffer. He says, we're in the very same place today. We can awake. The reason why Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said this is worse than the 30s is because we have the wisdom and the knowledge of what took place in the 30s. We're going to be held more accountable
to that.
This whole program carried us from the very point of what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu warned us about, what we've been warned about biblically, what we've been prophesying about, what others have been talking about, and it happened. And, of course, this is the reports Congress can still undo or not lift these sanctions, but that's our personal sanctions. Yeah. These other countries are just jumping on the bandwagon because reports are they want to sell weapons to
Iran,
they're
benefit.
Food to Iran because they want some of that. Hundreds
of billions of dollars.
It's like, you know, my dog, you just pull out a treat and
it's embarrassing,
like,
isn't it? It's embarrassing. It really is embarrassing.
Like, my dog would do anything for a treat. I'm like, come on, man. You're a German shepherd. Don't do that.
Yeah. So where do we go from here? I mean, here we are.
They're wanting some of that $100 million. And so these other countries are wanting to shift that money to them while they actually fuel whatever they want, which is weapons and these different things.
So we know that now Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to stand for that. I mean, he said when he spoke to Congress that the United States president, his responsibility is to keep America safe, but it's the Prime Minister of Israel's responsibility to keep everyone to survive in Israel.
As a matter of fact, let's play that. Do you have that one statement of what he's going to say if this thing happens? Listen to what he says, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in the interview with Forbes.
What happens if Congress does not derail this deal?
As for Israel itself, we always have the right and the duty to protect ourselves against a regime that, while denying the Holocaust, is planning another Holocaust against the 6 million Jews of Israel. That will not happen. We won't let it happen.
Is this like the 1930s?
No, it's worse, because we have the example of the 1930s, which wasn't available then.
This will not happen.
That's right.
And we won't let it happen. Do you remember
the days we had presidents?
You remember we had presidents like that? We go like, you know what? We're going to protect you, American citizens.
Like maybe Harry Truman, that the buck stops here, you know?
Right. The buck stops anywhere but here. But you think about it, it's just like what he's saying is, and what he said all along, you've been hearing it or watching it on VFN TV, and understand we're not news. We know the news. We're trying to let us all know about what we need to know what to do with the news that we know. Yeah. This is prophecy. Things are happening quickly. We're not going to lose Israel, but we very well could lose America if we partner with the enemies of Israel and don't stand with Israel. And what you're seeing is a vote went to the United Nations, and 100% of the National Council, you know, approved, rubber stamped this lifting of the sanctions. And when you start moving this thing, reports are where nations start, you know, trading again with Iran, everybody's not going to jump back on that bandwagon.
No.
It'll just be America would be the one to do it. And I doubt very seriously that what's our Congress doing now? I mean, what are they doing now?
Mm. And you look at, you know, there's the whole idea that, you know, with John Kerry, who said that, you know, this notion of trying to do this deal because it's going to keep everyone safe. How do you keep a nation's and nation safe when you're supporting the very main people who state
He is not
terrorists.
Keeping America safe, and he is not keeping Israel safe, and he's not keeping Christians safe, and he's not keeping Jews safe.
No.
And he's not keeping people who are not Muslim enough for these radical Islamic Muslims who are killing Muslims. And so they have their own strategies for whatever reason they're doing it. But the fruit of what they're doing, you got to join us in our next program, because we're going to have Pastor John Kilpatrick talking about if they divide that land in Jerusalem, if they divide the land, you know, God gave him this vision and showed him that if that land gets split and we're in on it, and if America's in on it, and I think our leaders' hands at least are dirty in this, that the physical splitting of America will take place. This Madrid fault line would split, and America would be basically divided.
Cut in half.
And well, make sure you join us in our next program, because you're going to hear this thing. I don't see too many soft-hearted, you know, necks willing to turn right now. And they're pushing as fast as they can. You're looking at maybe 13 months left in this administration, and they have an agenda, and they're like clicking them off left and right. and doing everything they said they were going to do. And the outcome of it is that, just like the Lord told me when he showed me before John Kerry got in this position as Secretary of State, he told me the very time that he would give that live speech when they started using rules for radicals on Syria and started targeting Syria. I got news for you. According to reports, is the leader of Syria is Iran's partner. That $100+ billion, they're saying, is going to go to President Assad.
That's right.
To support, to fight against the people. So they were saying they were going to target Assad. What they meant was they're going to target Israel.
Yeah.
Because you think about it, the fact is they're not going to take Assad out because Iran's for Assad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where and Iran was the one supplying missiles and those things that Israel confiscated out of Hamas, the Palestinian land in the West Bank. Was the West Bank? Gaza, and they had the missiles, and it said made in Iran on the side of the missiles that they got. And it's like they're fueling. Now they're going to give a cash injection to the enemies of, and we're their greater enemy, as BB says, America is. Mm-hmm. And if you missed this program, we had a program earlier about, you know, what is our president's vision over America? And it just explains it in detail, and it's being fulfilled rapidly. And what was the man's name that, the King's College?
Oh, Dinesh D'Souza.
Yes, you got to see that program. We'll make it a related program to this program. You go to VFNTV.com to see it. But understand, things are happening quickly. I want to pray with you, but I want to tell you about our next program. So, you know, what next? Well, we can stop it. That's your representative government. Congress can put a stop to anything. They control the purse strings. In other words, nothing gets done without money getting put into that particular part of the budget. So Congress, which means that one representative for every 700,000 people in your state, which is the best representation that you have, which is your congressman, you're from the House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that say, we will give you money for this, President Obama. We will give you money for this, Secretary of State John Kerry. They can actually just stop funding.
They can take
it.
The checkbook away.
They stop funding people, defense of our borders. They stopped, mm-hmm. you know, any federal executive orders to stop illegal aliens from coming over our borders. Just on and on and on. But if you ain't got no money, American government doesn't work.
That's right.
And so you could actually call your congressperson and say, stop funding this chaos. Stand up. And the House could put everything on brakes. It could stop everything. Because once the money stops, all that bureaucracy just stops.
Yeah.
You know, you think about
absolutely.
It. And I know that, you know, we're fixing to go out. So make sure you join us this next program because, you know, we're going to have, it's going to be Pastor John Kilpatrick, Church of His Presence, and how he's sharing about specifically what God said, if this land gets split, you know, what's going to take place. And it's going to be intense. It already is. You know, difficult times are coming to America. This is not going to come without consequences, what's going on. But know this, it's going to be the best of times for the church. But the church is going to be purged of people who perceive, I guess, that they're the church. And if you're not, you can come in. You can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. But understand, it's going to be the greatest harvest that we've ever seen. Prepare yourself for this. Hmm. Don't prepare yourself for an America that was like yesterday. Prepare yourself for the new America that's going to be forming and what's about to take place in our country. I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for all of us. Dear God,
yes,
we just
Lord.
Pray for Israel, Lord God. You would protect Israel, Lord, that you would save Israel, God, that you would turn Israel's and America's enemy on themselves, Lord, that you would prevent the death of any Jews, any Christians, any Middle Eastern people that are there, Father God, that this adversary is pressing on. Lord, you would stop Secretary of State John Kerry from these evil plans, that you would awaken Congress, that they would stand up and not think about an election 2 years down the road, but they would think about what's right now, that they would stand up,
yes.
Father God, for Israel and what you want. Father God, I pray even that now, Lord God, that you would send revival, Lord God, that you would end abortion, God, that you would send a third great awakening. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.